Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded March 21st, 2013 at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 10 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, Extremes. This week's story comes to us from Marissa France and is titled, My Forgotten Place. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, so I coached softball at Hellgate High School and we were having a scrimmage and the girls wanted to stay later and play more. So we said, sure, we love the enthusiasm. It's not cold out here at all. So tonight's topic, extremes. In my bio, we talked about Browning, and that's what I'm going to talk about because it is one of the most extreme places. It is the most extreme place I've ever lived. I don't know how many people in the room have been to Browning. Okay. I suspect most of you have passed it between the park and somewhere else. Not a lot of people stop in Browning. And I can't really blame them. If you're just driving through, it doesn't look like a very safe place to stop, and sometimes it's not. I taught first grade up there for 2 years, and after having lived in places like Chicago and Pittsburgh, it was quite a shock to the system. I went back to school to get a teaching degree, and it was August 1st, and the principal called me, and he was like, if you're interested, I've got a job for you. Call me back. I hadn't even sent my application to Browning. He found me because I had an art degree and I went to school at Marquette and he was from Wisconsin. That's how I got my first job teaching. And, it was August 1st. I had a mortgage to pay, so I said yes. A week later, packed my things up and moved up to Browning. And I taught first grade for 2 years. And they were probably the hardest 2 years of my life. I came home, drank some wine most nights, and I was in bed by 8 o'clock because I really didn't want to think about the fact that I had to go back to work tomorrow. No amount of education or living can prepare you for what you see every day up there as an educator. I called Child Protective Services exactly twice in my two-year career up there. The first time, the child was taken from the family and back in the home within a day. The second time, Child Protective Services wouldn't even go to the family's house because they were scared of the family. And I sort of got into a semantic argument with the woman on the phone about their name. If they were called Child Protective Services, why weren't they doing shit to protect a child when, you call with good reason? And that happened early on in my tenure up there, and it really set the tone for the year for me. It's like, okay, well, nobody else is going to do anything. I'm going to do it myself. And so I'd come home and cry every night because it was so disastrous up there what I was seeing. Kids who were being abused and coming to school, parents who didn't care about school, thought we were the enemy. I was white. I was the enemy. I was a teacher. I was the enemy. I had 3 strikes against me before I even started. I had to stick at least one softball analogy in there. I would just rack my brain for ways to help these kids. And every avenue I took, I got the door shut in my face. And it was stressing me out. And I think I was probably giving myself a heart attack slowly, but it would have happened eventually, I'm sure. And this teacher next to me, her name was Beth, and she grew up in Browning on a ranch and had been a teacher there for 15 years, had moved her family back there. And she said, you're going to kill yourself up here if you don't get that. The only thing you can do as an educator up here is make the four walls of your classroom the safest, most wonderful, happy place for that child that it can be. And outside of that, you can't do anything. And you just have to accept that. And the day I figured that out, life became a little easier. And I realized that, okay, so they're not getting exposed to anything at home for the most part. I'm going to do it in here. So I put a piece of paper over my door, I shut my door, and I started teaching things that I wasn't supposed to be teaching, like geography and science. Woo! And I was a rebel. I mean, I was teaching more than reading, I was teaching more than math, and I was doing it in an inquiry-based way, which a lot of people have been up there so long, they, one, didn't know about it, two, didn't care about it, because they had low expectations. And I teach at Lowell here, too, so I like the schools with the tough kiddos. I get it. And, you know, have high expectations. Those kids are going to live up to whatever standard you set, whether it's low or high. And so going in up in Browning and having high expectations, I was kind of the underdog. And it was weird. I started to just not tell other people my ideas. You know, there was one woman who was my mentor teacher that I'd share it with because she was kind of trying to do the same thing too. She's like, really? You know, I didn't realize how fucked up this place was until you showed up and started pointing things out. And I was like, yeah, you've been here too long, I think. Because everyone just kind of gets into their zone and it's all about test scores up there. And it's not about the kids. They say it is, but it's not. And I think that as a country, we're kind of trending towards that direction, which is not where we should be headed. But my second year of teaching up in Browning, I got an offer here in Missoula a week before school started, and they wouldn't let me out of my contract. And I was pissed. I was like, you're right. I have a signed contract. I will come back up for a year, but after that, I'm done, no matter what. And I went back up, and I had this little girl in my class. And, you know, you get kids who show up 50% of the time, and that's about half your kids. And this little kiddo, she'd show up every day, but she'd show up around noon. And she was a sweet little girl, and I started just chatting with her about it. And she's like, well, mom doesn't get up. And, you know, it's later I find out it's because mom's up doing meth every night and unplugging the alarm so she doesn't have to get up to take her kid to school. And I guess this is what's extreme about my story is this little girl's story, actually. She's growing up in a household where dad beats up mom every night. And she takes it, and that's her normal, and that's what she knows. And so this smart, wonderful little girl is going to know that as normal, and she's going to be pregnant and being abused by the time she's 15, too, because that's what she thinks happens in life. She doesn't know that that's not okay, you know, and I had other kids like that up there, too, where that's the only thing they knew. And so poverty, secular poverty. I've been talking since 7 o'clock this morning. Teaching kindergarten and coaching softball in the wind is a lot of words in a day. I'm out. But this little girl, Mamie, she started showing up a little more. And mom went to have another baby in Great Falls, so she was staying with a relative, a cousin, I think. And she was there at school on time every day for a whole month. And her grades went from really terrible to amazing. The girl learned to read in a month because she was there every day. And so when I found out mom was coming home, I was like, well, you know what? Here's the deal, Mamie. I have an extra alarm clock at my house. I'm bringing it in tomorrow. She's like, but Miss Franz, I don't know how to tell time. I was like, you learned how to read in a month. Do you think you can learn how to tell time in a day or two? Yeah, I think I can do that, Miss Franz. It's like, all right, let's do this. So I bring it in. It's a digital clock. Show her how to turn it on, set it up. This little girl starts getting herself up for school every day, get herself ready. She's six, by the way. She's 6 years old. Gets herself ready for school every day, gets herself on the bus every day, and gets herself to school on time. This girl started taking off. It was incredible. She just became, you know, she started to become a child who enjoyed learning and enjoyed being at school because she'd never been there long enough to experience it. And then one night, dad came over, beat up mom. Mom had had enough, by all means. She had had enough. She tried to run him over with the car and kill him. And mom went to jail for a day. Dad went to ICU for 2 days. And then they were back together. And this little girl is back in that family. And so, you know, some days I think, what am I doing? This is the worst thing ever. I'm having a terrible day. And then I think about my little friend Mamie and how my worst day is probably going to be her best day ever. And there's nothing I can still do about it, especially from down here. But I think that it's important for us to all remember in the forgotten places, in our own state, in our own town even, that there are children like that every day and families like that every day. And just being an educator, you know, even if you're not, go out and help, tutor, participate in something, volunteer at the ZAC, you know, get out there and do something so that these kiddos who don't know anything good at least might have a chance to know something good. And that, sorry if I made you cry. I was tearing up a little myself. So that.
Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, staff, and faculty of the University of Montana, as well as the general Missoula community, montanabookstore.com. The Top Hat, regularly bringing Missoula great live music, now with food, tophatlounge.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact, factandfictionbooks.com. Jonathan Marquise, illustrator, artist, and community organizer, jonathanmarquise.com, that's Marquise with a Q. Matt LaRubio, screen printing done right, mlarubio@gmail.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for funky gifts, cards, and music. Great people, great music, rockandrudy's.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. Find us on twitter.com/PSSTTELLUS. That's twitter.com/tellus. Also on Facebook and at tellussomething.org. Interested in telling a story? Call 406-203-4683 or email tellussomething@gmail.com. That's PSSTTELLUS.something@gmail.com to pitch your story. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? Thanks for listening.